turn up the champagne. Pop. It's my house, come on, turn it up. Hear a knock on the door and the night begins. Cause we've done this before, so you come on in. Make yourself at my home, tell me where you've been. Pour yourself something cold, baby, cheers to this.
Now back to Cleveland Browns Daily with Jim Donovan and Matt Wilhelm on ESPN 850 WKNR.
And hello, everybody, and welcome in to Cleveland Browns Daily here from Lou Groza Boulevard, right at the home of the Browns. I'm Jim Donovan in for Nathan Zagura, and happy to see Matt Wilhelm again.
Happy
it
to
has
see you.
Been a while. The last time I was here, I was with Nathan. You were out on the Wild Blue Seas.
The Buckeye Cruise.
The Buckeye Cruise. Yes. Again, we are 1 month away from the NFL draft, or as I like to call it, the Browns filling out their entire roster, because it's obviously going to be a very, very important draft for the Cleveland Browns. It is great to be here. We have a bunch to talk about, and I have a lot to talk about with you, Matt, after what happened late last week,
yes,
with the Browns coming to an agreement with RG3. Robert Griffin III is a member of the Cleveland Browns, a two-year deal worth in the vicinity, the neighborhood of $15 million bucks. $6.75 million of that guaranteed, but it is wherever I went this weekend, and by the look, when I hit the ATM this morning, I was at a lot of places over the weekend, and at some of them too long, obviously.
Yes.
But everywhere I went, people were registering their opinion, their feeling, their optimism about RG3 coming to the Cleveland Browns. And in this year of polls, presidential polls and all those kind of things, in the year of polls, I would have to say that at least my reading on the poll that people talking to me over the weekend, people are accepting of this.
Yes.
They are intrigued by it.
They are.
They're not going wild over it.
Nope.
Okay, because we've been burned at the altar a couple of times.
Yes.
But they are very, very, very intrigued by it and kind of see what the Browns are doing. Now, where do you weigh in?
And I weigh in very similar to where majority of the people you probably talk to and a majority of the people that I talk to kind of weigh in. There's a bit of skepticism because,
sure,
A, it's a Browns quarterback.
Right.
And there's always going to be skepticism until we find that answer, which we do maybe in RG3 and potentially in the number two overall pick with Jared Goff or Carson Wentz. But ultimately, Jim, I really feel, and as Nathan has stated, it's a one-year, $6.75 million investment in a guy that has really taken a liking to what the Cleveland Browns represent right now. And even more than that, it's taken a liking to Hugh Jackson. And I think as I dug into the press release, and Nathan and I read it out loud as we did sign RG3 just before Friday show, and you dig into the teleconference with RG3, his words come across as a different man. And what I liked, and I spoke of this during Friday's show, is Sashi saying he earned the right, you know, or he earned the right for the Cleveland Browns to extend him an opportunity to play for our franchise. So we kind of spun, mm-hmm, you know, while some might say we have an open checkbook and an open opportunity to come play for the Browns, as you said, mm-hmm, to fill out this roster,
yeah, right,
the way of thinking by the guys in charge has changed, and I like that, and I do like this signing, and as Nathan has said before, low risk, high reward for a 26-year-old.
Absolutely. That's the thing. That's the first thing that hit me. I don't think they can lose in this because they're not saying that this is the future of the franchise.
Right.
They're not also saying that he's a bridge guy.
Correct.
Okay? I mean, you can infer that. You can say there's a young quarterback out there somewhere, and he's going to be coming here, and he might be coming very high on April 28th in the draft, either at number two.
Correct.
Two. He could be coming at number two. He could be coming at number 32. He could be coming later in the draft, okay? And that's something I want to ask the people today. I really am interested because everywhere I went, around town, shopping, wherever, because it's a public weekend when it's a holiday weekend,
it
and
is.
I hope you all had a great Easter. But I want you to call 216-578-0850, and I want you to tell Matt and I want to put you on the clock today, and I want you to tell us today, does the signing of RG3 by the Cleveland Browns change the Browns draft board coming up on April 28th when they're up at number two? And does it open the board up completely for them to say, hey, listen, We don't have to get the quarterback at number two. We could try 32. We could try the next day. We could try after that in the third round or the fourth round. Does it do that at all? Does it open it up for them to get a quarterback? Yes, but not necessarily at number two. Or if when you are at the number two spot and you do not have your franchise quarterback, okay, you still don't have him, and you hope to God that you're not back at number two or number one or number three the next year in the draft, do you have to use that opportunity at number two to take another shot at it and go at it and pick another quarterback? That's the big question everybody wants to know right
now. It is.
RG3's here.
Right.
Okay, we hope it works out. And I'm sure he does, too, because he wants to get back in the game.
Yes,
he does.
He's
on the outside looking in, and not necessarily now, but before he did that deal, he was on the outside looking in. So we hope it works out, but now do the Browns still go at number two and go for a quarterback? That's what I was getting hit with over the weekend.
I agree with that. And
Do you think they go at number two?
Doing this show every day with Nathan Zagura,
these callers
and his
might
approach,
help you.
They're going to help us. And I really do believe, this is my take, is if you believe either Jared Goff or Carson Wentz is a franchise quarterback.
Absolutely, and that's what you got to look at.
As Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota are playing the role as Blake Bortles and Derek Carr and Teddy Bridgewater are for their franchises.
Or back in 2012, when Andrew Luck and RG3
correct
were, you know, 1-2 Colts,
correct,
Redskins.
Yes, if they're a transcending franchise quarterback that you believe, or that I believe, as I've said many times, Hugh Jackson's going to be here a minimum of 3 years and beyond. So he's got 3 to 5 years. If Hugh Jackson and this regime, you know, believes that Carson Wentz or Jared Goff are a franchise quarterback, irregardless of the signing of RG3, you take one of them at two.
Okay.
If you question that they're the franchise guy,
that's right,
because there are many analysts that have them 10th to 16th as the best top prospects in this draft, but
right,
yes, they might be the first or second quarterbacks, duh, that's the easy question, is do you go best player available at two?
Okay, and, see, that's, yeah,
that's the question.
That's,
you know, the Jalen Ramsey, the Joey Bosa's, the almost can't-miss immediate impact guys, because Cleveland deserves their first-round pick, I feel, On the field, week one.
Absolutely. On the field, week one,
yes,
contributing. Okay?
Correct.
But if it's a quarterback, it's a different story. You almost don't want him on the field.
I know.
In week one. And I know that Tampa and Tennessee went against that. Oakland certainly went against that. Minnesota went against that. Did Bridgewater
start
Henny right away?
Henny started in Jacksonville. And it was Castle or somebody was in Minnesota?
Castle
prior to Bridgewater coming in via injury, then earned the right to. So everyone
right,
but Oakland started with an older guy.
So let's throw that out there today, okay? I you know, love to hear from you. Do the Browns, with RG3 being here right now, do the Browns say, hey, listen, at number two, we have a lot of other needs on this football team, and they do. We have a lot of other needs. Does it open up our board right now to go for somebody else, and then we'll get the quarterback later on? Or do you say to yourself, hey, listen, you're at number two, you can't find a quarterback, you've taken about 27 swings at this thing and haven't come up with a guy, we have to find our guy. And there are people, there are learned NFL people that have been around for a long, long time in this league that have said, until you get the guy, you have to keep taking swings at it and get the guy and keep trying to find the guy. If you don't get him, you got to go back and take more swings at it. It's a philosophy that worked in Green Bay to their advantage and long term, okay? You know, I'll tell you what, when they had the opportunity, they would always pick a quarterback every year. Even with Brett Favre, they would go get a quarterback, go get another quarterback.
In some round.
Yeah, in some round, not necessarily high, but they would get those guys. That's how they ended up with Brunell, and they ended up with Hasselbeck. They ended up with Matt Flynn. They ended up with all these guys because that was the way they were going to do it. They were always going to go get a quarterback. Now, certainly here, I mean, there is that situation where right now you have a very intriguing situation, made even more intriguing by what happened on Thursday and Friday when RG3 became a reality with the Browns.
Yes, and you know what is scaring me slightly, Jim, is as more and more mock drafts 2.0, 3.0, 4.0 are coming out, there is The Browns going in a different direction. If at two, you've got
the cornerback.
You know, the Ramsey kid. Right. I've had someone had us taking Tunsil at two
because the philosophy was you put him at right tackle right away with Mitchell Schwartz being gone.
Correct.
And then in the future, you move him to left tackle, presumably when Joe Thomas, you know, and hopefully Joe Thomas is here, but presumably when Joe
Correct.
Decides that he's going to step away from the game, and then he goes to left tackle.
Exactly, and that's scaring me out of more eyes seeing Wentz and Goff not believing they're a franchise quarterback,
mm-hmm.
so much so that they're having the Browns not go quarterback at two.
Okay.
A franchise that is starved of a franchise quarterback and they're having us not go quarterback is kind of saying, is the jig up on these two guys? And maybe, and that's, you know, they have Goff going seventh to San Francisco and Wentz, you know, maybe even 15th to the Rams.
Wow.
So is there an opportunity for potentially the Browns, if you don't go Ramsey, Bosa, Buckner, you know, one of these elite guys mm-hmm. at two, mm-hmm. can you move back to six, meet that need, mm-hmm. you know, and gain an asset, mm-hmm. and as you said, fill the roster up
right.
with more talent?
Because that's where the roster obviously is going to be filled. It's going to be filled in this draft.
Correct.
It really is.
Yes.
All right, now we have some other topics. That's the big one, though.
Yes,
okay, 216-578-0850. And Matt and I would love to hear your opinion on this and bat the breeze. And we'll be batting the breeze until April 28th.
Yes, we will.
Until the commissioner goes up and says, with the second pick, the Cleveland Browns, bang. All right, today is Mississippi's Pro Day. Rumors continue to swirl about the Browns having an interest in Laquon Treadwell. I saw him a number of times in those many SEC mm-hmm. games that were televised. Big.
Big.
Tall
yes.
guy. Reminded me a little of Alshon Jeffrey when he came out of South Carolina.
Yeah.
And he's as big as him, isn't he?
Not as tall, but not as heavy okay, as Alshon was.
Yeah, but the same kind of player like that. He's considered a mid-round pick in this year's draft, but he's the number one wide receiver in the draft. What do you think about that? And we'll just talk about what's going to happen here. Jared Cook, a big tight end, last with St. Louis, and kind of a bust in St. Louis.
Yes.
He signed with Green Bay today. And I want to ask you this. What about us at tight end? I mean, you know, obviously.
Future beyond Barnage.
Barnage,
right?
Yeah, I mean, are we okay at tight end? I mean, Dre is gone.
Dre is gone.
Bibbs he's still here, and he was kind of a project. Right?
Correct. Yeah. There's moves to be made at tight end. And the reason why I say that, and this is no knock against Gary Barnage and the year that he had in 2015, but I don't believe there's a reason why he never had those numbers before, and it's going to be very difficult unless he's featured, which he was, because I think in some cases there was a lack of playmakers and not a lot of continuity at quarterback
yeah.
that he became the feature in the red zone, that Hugh Jackson's going to look for his next Tyler Eifert in
okay.
this draft
yeah.
or via free agency or
now,
undrafted
Tyler
free
Eifert was a pretty high pick, as I remember,
very high
out
pick.
Of Notre Dame.
But it was, you know, an injury plagued in the mm-hmm. first couple seasons, underutilized.
Yeah.
And then finally, when Andy Dalton hit,
yeah.
AJ Green was the star. Sanu was the accent piece. Marvin Jones had his best year, got paid.
Mm-hmm.
And then Eifert hit and Dalton hit. And then that's why everything worked out so well for Cincinnati for the 8-0 start. But I thought Eifert and that red zone capability, Hugh Jackson and his offense, why I think Barnes is going to have a good year, but not the same type of year. We've got to build elsewhere. And that's why Treadwell and the Coleman kid from Baylor and the Dotson kid from TCU, as well as Michael Thomas from Ohio State, are all in conversations
yeah.
for the Cleveland Browns at 32.
Yeah, Michael Thomas.
Like him.
Yeah, really good.
And
player.
Laquon Treadwell ran 4.63 today, handheld, and Michael Thomas ran 4.4, low 4.4s handheld at his pro day.
Wow, how about
so,
that?
So,
speed. Yeah, I wanted to ask you something else. Where are we on Josh Gordon? Where do you think this thing is going? I mean, there's a lot of tweeting going
there
on.
Is
there's a lot of tweeting going on that him, you know, Gordon wants to play with RG3. RG3 loves Gordon. They
brothers
did a, they did a lot of
brothers
good things
at Baylor.
Yeah,
they did
a lot
it.
Of good things at Baylor. I mean, where do you sense, you're in this building every
yeah.
day, do you sense confidence high that Gordon's going to get reinstated?
I would say confidence is split right down the middle.
Really?
Yes. I think, and the reason why is comments at the combine were so confident and, you know, overly confident about reinstatement. And then most recent comments after the NFL statement at the owners' meetings were, well, you know, we don't really know. We have to move on without him. He's not necessarily in our plans until he falls back
in
our lap.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of 50-50 on him. And as Nathan and I discussed last week as well on this, it's just surprising to me that unless it's very black and white from a league standpoint. If he has done everything you've asked of him,
mm-hmm.
and you're keeping tabs on him the way someone like Josh Gordon should be kept tabs on by the league and the policy itself and the little umbrella that he's underneath, I would essentially believe that all that information is readily available to you to be able to make a determination.
Okay, here's what I want to bring to your attention. Okay, outside people, let's face it, okay, are very concerned about what they haven't done in free agency.
Okay.
Okay, because we don't know really what their feeling is about free agency. We have to kind of gauge what it is. But I think what you're looking at is, I mean, they're getting players. They're not going to get older players, right? 27 and younger, it seems.
Yes.
That's the line. And they're going to get players that are kind of in that, you know, that they're not first-level guys, obviously.
Nope.
But they're guys that still have a lot to prove in their career. All right. But I think people are kind of feeling that, well, they must believe Gordon's coming back because they didn't do anything as far as a wide receiver was concerned.
And who is RG3 going to throw to?
Who is he going to throw to? Yeah.
You know, Gabriel, Hartline, Hawkins are the three under contract right now.
I mean, you know, and they let Benjamin go.
Correct.
And but I mean, what do you feel about that? I mean, is there some sense that there might be an inner confidence that they're going to get Gordon back to the point that they said, "Hey, Marvin Jones too expensive for our taste." Even though the familiarity with there is just rampant.
There was a mutual interest.
Yeah, absolutely, with Hugh Jackson and Sanu and all. You know, you could have just gone to the Bengals and filled out your free agency
could
list.
Have. You know what it says to me? And I know we got to grab a break here. It says to me that they believe they've got RG3. If they go, they're going to go quarterback at some point in this draft, I believe, whether at 2, 32, or somewhere later, as you've mentioned, to open the show. And then they believe there's got to be playmakers that they have to acquire. And that's why trading back, getting another second or a third so that you can take another swing at a playmaker for RG3 or that quarterback is going to be huge, or tight end.
Yeah.
Tight end, pass rusher, wide receiver, quarterback. Boom. That's what I want that's on my Christmas list.
Right. As Matt alluded to, we have to take a break. It's great to be here. I'm here today and tomorrow with Matt. 216-578-0850. We'd like to hear what you have to say about this RG3 thing, and does it change your plans that you think the Browns should execute on draft day, April 28th? Should they open the board up now, or should they stay focused in and zeroed in on quarterback, and is it Wentz or is it Goff? Or do they go best player available, and because there are many needs on the team? We would love to hear from you about that. We're going to have Larry Michael on, the voice of the Washington Redskins. He'll have a great perspective on what went on there in Washington with RG3. Scott Petrak joins us from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram at 2 o'clock, and we'll talk with him about what he feels is going to happen with these developments. And we'll hopefully talk to you on the other side of the break as we just get started on this week and this Monday on Cleveland Browns Daily. Back after this.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
216-578-0850, the telephone number here on Cleveland Browns Daily. Great to be with Matt Wilhelm and all of you. And we'll begin and go to the phones as we talk about what's going on, RG3 and the draft and the strategy that the Browns use now at number 2 and the quarterback position. When do you get them? Do you go right away? Does RG3 give you a license to go later and get the quarterback? On that discussion, we go to Dino the Trucker. Hi, Dino. You're on Browns Daily.
Hey, guys. How are we doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Just getting off of work. I wanted to discuss RG3. I think it was a good move to get him, you know, because it gives us time to develop a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, look at this scenario, Jimmy.
Yes.
How would it be nice for once to have two great quarterbacks on our roster?
Let me tell you, Dino, I would buy you
think
a new
that.
Truck. I would buy you a brand new truck and let you pick whatever shift you want to drive.
Can you imagine that? Two great quarterbacks. What a problem that would be in Cleveland, huh?
Yeah, it would be. Well, you know what? But it would, all of a sudden, then it would become a problem, wouldn't it?
Yes, of course.
A nice one, though.
And so again, Skip Bayless, you know, Skip Bayless and Stephen A, they're a very entertaining show.
Yeah.
And Skip, I read online today, Skip had a tweet that made it on Bleacher Report, and Skip Bayless has already come out and said that he can imagine in his head by the third or fourth game of the upcoming Browns season that the Browns fan base, with RG3 struggling after multiple starts, starting to chant, Carson, Carson. And Carson Wentz would be holding that clipboard on the sideline after being drafted number two overall, that the fan base, after RG3 struggles, would already be calling for the backup. So that scenario is ever and readily available to the Cleveland
there,
fan base.
There was a time, if you remember, a year ago, not this past year, but when Whedon was here, and Whedon goes out, you know, when they wanted to, he knew that they were young. They were going to be booing and cheering. Yep. And, you know, if you had to throw, let me, better example, all right? Hoyer. When Brian went out and played right away, okay, after he had the ACL tear and came back, and Manziel was here.
Correct.
You,
14.
You really said to yourself, on opening Sunday, okay, Brian better get the team going right away, because if they go three and out and they punt right away, the Johnny chant is going to be going out. I mean, that's just the way it is.
It is the way it is.
Especially when, you know, you're drafting quarterbacks high.
Yes.
Okay, because as much as people say to the, you know, will say it, yep, you need a young quarterback, give him time. Tim Couch certainly didn't have any time, and it might have ruined him in his NFL career. Still, the gut tells you want to see the young guy play.
Absolutely.
Let's go to Tom is in Massillon. Hi, Tom.
Hey, how you doing, you guys?
Good. How are you, Tom?
All right. I'm for the number two, how about Bolden from Ohio State?
Well,
to field a defense.
Yeah.
Why get blind, quarterback blind? We got a guy here. Same thing happened to him in Washington. They drafted up under him after they said he was number one. Let's keep his confidence up. Look at other needs. A strong defense with Bolden will keep us in some ball games.
Okay. I want to throw this at Matt right now, though. Bosa playing in this defense, Matt. And this is scheme specific.
It
right
is
now. Okay. The Browns are in a 3-4. Bosa. Now you'd basically be teaching him a new position, wouldn't you?
You would.
An outside linebacker.
Yes.
In a 3-4.
Correct.
And you're going to teach him that at the NFL level as the number two pick in the draft. Okay. Mingo's had trouble with it. Cameron Wembley had trouble with it. Jabal Sheard had trouble with it. It's not an easy thing to do.
It's not an easy thing to do, Jim. And if I go top five on an outside pass rusher, either defensive end or an outside linebacker, I want Aldon Smith, Von Miller-type numbers. And both those guys went top 10 in the same draft.
Right.
And both went double-digit sacks year one. Joey Bosa's not that guy. Again, I don't a quarterback, yes, come in at two and learn the game to be able to go out and be your franchise quarterback. Outside of quarterback, I want immediate impact. Jalen Ramsey, we take him at two. You're starting week one at one of our safety spots, or you're starting in a nickel situation, sub packages, and I want four interceptions in, and I want game-breaking type of plays. You know, Bosa in this scheme is going to have to learn.
Absolutely.
And his body's going to have to change, because at 275-ish, a little too big for an outside an outside linebacker in this defense.
He's going to have to drop and cover.
He's going to have to drop and cover and all those types of things. And we've already had that issue with Paul Kruger, you know, last year, who underperformed. But so love Bosa as an Ohio State guy.
Great player. Might not fit here.
Not going to fit here.
All right, let's go to Dave in Youngstown. Hi, Dave. Dave, are you there? Hello, Dave. Hey, Dave. I think he's, you know, he's listening to his radio. Dave, are you there in Youngstown? 3, 2, 1. All right. Too bad. All right.
Call back.
Yeah, call back. Okay, so that, you know, you have to be specific about that in what you're going to do as far as what your defense is going to be. Because, unfortunately, you hope you learn from your mistakes, but there have been mistakes that have happened here when we've taken a player that's been dynamic and in the backfield, hitting quarterbacks in the college ranks, and then people want, they want four sacks in that opening Sunday, and they want hits, and they want tip balls, and here's a guy fishing out there. He's searching, swimming, and drowning because he's got to learn a new position.
If I take a Buckner or I take a Bosa or a Ramsey at two overall, Buckner and Bosa better give me 6 to 9 sacks year one as a rookie for the second overall pick.
Right.
Okay. Ramsey's got to be starting by week four the same way that maybe Skip Bayless is calling for a quarterback to potentially be starting by week four.
Remember,
I want immediate impact at two.
And remember now, Joe Hayden in his rookie year really didn't start till like 6 or 7 games in.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. He's got to learn too.
Okay. We're going to take a break, I believe. Jason, we taking a break? Yeah, we're going to take a break and we're going to come back. And on the other side, we should have the voice of the Washington Redskins, Larry Michael. Continue with your calls. We'll talk to Larry and we'll continue with your calls too on what the Browns should do at number two What do you want them to do now that RG3 is here? Do you still want them to go high and as high as number two to pick that quarterback? Anyway, we continue on Cleveland Browns Daily on Monday. We are a week away from the baseball season and a week away from the Browns OTA starting, right?
Yes, April 4th.
The off-season conditioning program comes in.
Hugh Jackson's excited.
Yeah, I bet he is. We'll continue right after this timeout here on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back, everybody. Cleveland Browns Daily here on ESPN 850 WKNR. Jim Donovan in for Nathan Zagura today. Matt Wilhelm in his usual spot off to my left as we sit in on this Monday, a month away from the NFL draft. And we're still wondering if the Browns will change any of their plans now that Robert Griffin III, RG3, is a member of the Browns, coming to a contract agreement with them late last week and now on his way to Cleveland. And a man that saw him from the time he entered the Washington Redskins plans, Larry Michael, the voice of the Washington Redskins, joins us here this afternoon. Larry, good to have you on the show.
Good to be on. How you guys doing today?
We are doing good, but we are fascinated with Robert Griffin III, RG3, coming to Cleveland. You saw it all, Larry. What are we getting here in Cleveland?
Well, I can say this. You know, you're getting an outstanding young man. I had the pleasure of going up to New York and actually picking him up the day after he was drafted, and the team has a big draft weekend extravaganza at the stadium. A lot of the teams do this type of stuff, and we went up and we flew back with Robert and got to be very close to him over the last 4 years. And he is an outstanding individual, super, super nice kid, a real wholesome guy. He's just a great kid, and, you know, we wish him all the best in Cleveland, except when we play you guys. But, you know, again, and he's got some work to do on his game, but you're not going to find a guy who's a better person. You're not going to find a guy who's going to work as hard. I can only say great things about Robert.
Larry, as Jim said, you have a better look at RG3 than anybody, other than maybe his coaches and his family. As the Cleveland fan base is diving into what type of decision this was by this new regime to bring RG3 in, pay him the type of money he was, he potentially comes with baggage, you know, that a lot of, and how much of that is perception, and what is that perception, or what is the reality behind it for you having firsthand knowledge of that situation with the coaching regime from Shanahan to Gruden?
Well, you know, everybody's got their opinion, and I've said it for the last couple of years here, you know, you can't believe everything you read, you can't believe everything you hear, and being privy and having been present at a lot of situations that I saw reported erroneously, the exact opposite of what might have happened, I don't think you can believe much of some of the stuff you might want to call baggage. I mean, the reality of the fact is, he led the team to the NFC East title his first year as a player and had a very, very severe knee injury at the end of the year to a knee that he had repaired previously. So his next year back, he pushed himself to come back. Warrior mentality. I mean, like I said, the kid is a workout fiend, the first guy out there, last guy to leave type of kid. And you know, obviously the injury took its toll. Then the following year, he got hurt again. He dislocated his ankle against Jacksonville, and he had actually had his first real long preseason since the injury that he had, and he was raring to go. And then the second week of the season, that happened. And last year, he had the concussion against Detroit in the preseason, which opened the door. So I think if you look at him and you honestly look at what you know and not what you hear, you could say, well, you know, he's going to have to stay healthy. Mm-hmm. That's going to be of paramount importance to Robert. He's going to have to stay healthy. He cannot improve as a quarterback if he's hurt. He cannot take the Browns to any victories if he's hurt. He's got the perfect coach in Hugh to be able to take him under his wing and get him to where he needs to go. But as far as baggage is concerned, the only thing that might be in that suitcase is his injury history, as far as I'm concerned.
So, Larry, in that first year, that rookie year that you alluded to when he took the team and they make a great run in the late part of the season, and I remember they're playing the Browns and they had an incredible win the week before in overtime against the Ravens, and he had gotten hurt in that game. And I think Cousins finish that game in overtime?
He did. He did come into that game.
I was so excited the next week because all week long, everyone kept thinking, we kept waiting for the Washington injury report, and we thought he was going to play that day against the Browns. And Cousins came out and really kind of wrote his ticket at that point in the NFL. But my point is this, Larry. When you watched that rookie year, you had to be saying to yourself, wow, look at what we have here.
Yeah, electrifying. Great arm. There was a game against the New York Giants where he dropped a dime right over the shoulder of Santana Moss. I haven't seen as beautiful a throw ever. And then against the Cowboys in Dallas in his rookie year, he had four touchdowns in the first half, three passing, one running. He just had an incredible start to his career, which really does kind of sadden Redskins fans, I think, because after that first year, and it's a year-to-year thing, and the Redskins – obviously last year got to the playoffs because of great quarterback play from Kirk Cousins, and it really made it feel like it was so long ago when it was only 2012. But the NFL season's long, it's grueling, and we know it's what have you done for us lately, and you guys know that as well as anybody.
Yes.
So, it was kind of a turning of the page there, and Kirk took advantage of the opportunity. And, again, I can't say anything but good things about Robert. Again, good man. Got to be real close with him over the time. And, obviously the people in Cleveland are going to find out the same thing that I found out. No better human being on the face of the earth, but you're looking for a great quarterback. And he's going to have to put the work in. I do think he's got the ideal coach in Hugh Jackson. I saw Hugh at the owners' meetings last week. And, Cleveland has needed a quarterback for a while. And, will they draft a quarterback? I think Robert's going to compete. I think he realizes that nothing's going to be handed to him moving forward. What he did in 2012 is irrelevant to 2016. That's really the bottom line. So coming in as a guy that has a chip on his shoulder, wants to prove he can excel, prove he can play at a high level, and he's just going to have to do it. He's going to have to do it, but I think he's got the right team to do it with, and, I just wish him the best.
Well, and that's great to hear. And you know what, Larry, the one thing that did resonate with me hearing RG3, both in the press release and his comments and then his phone conference with the local media was the number of times that he did reference compete and compete and compete, because it seems as if a lot was handed to him and a lot was given up to get him there to Washington. And I guess ultimately my question is for you. You mentioned it in your first comments of what a great person he is, but he's got work to do. What are some of the things that you think RG3, now going into his fifth year in the National Football League, needs to work on besides staying healthy that could ultimately lead to potentially being a franchise quarterback here in Cleveland?
Well, I think it's twofold. I think, it's obvious by virtue of the number of sacks he took 2 years ago that one thing he needs to improve on is getting rid of the football quicker. I think that's imperative, and it'll save his body some wear and tear. But that's not as easy as it sounds, because he needs to know where to go with that football quicker. So it's just going to be an evaluation with the playbook, evaluation of the defense. And I work with a guy named Sonny Jurgensen. Work with him every Sunday. I know you guys have heard of Sonny. And he says, a quarterback has failed if he is at the line prior to the snap and doesn't already know where he's going with the football. He says the great quarterbacks know where they're going with it before the snap. In fact, they know where they're going with it as soon as they break the huddle, as soon as they see how the defense is deployed. He says that Sonny, and I believe it because I've been around Sonny for a few years now. So that all factors in with Robert getting rid of the ball quickly and knowing where to go with the ball. He's got all the tools. I think he can do it. I think he's certainly smart enough. He's certainly got the work ethic. There are no distractions outside of football for him. And again, you can't believe everything you read. I thought he was a super teammate to the guys here. Never had a problem with Robert in any way, shape, or form. In fact, I kind of missed the guy as a friend being around here. But life rolls on, and he's got an opportunity now to get back at it. And, it was a rough year for him, and he could have been moping. He could have been a distraction. But instead, he did everything that was asked of him. Never was a distraction. Never moped one time. Always had an upbeat attitude. So I think the sky's the limit for him. He's certainly going to be healthier than he's been the last couple of years. He didn't have to play last year, so didn't take any hits. But there were some years, guys, that he took some pretty serious hits.
Yeah, he did. Yes.
And I'd see him in the locker room after the game, and, he'd be hurting. And he obviously didn't want to let anybody see that, but it was tough. And, again, to be able to get let that thing fly, get rid of it quicker, It's going to be a benefit to him physically, and it's going to be a benefit to the Browns offense. But you know, he's got to start at it this offseason. And again, I think he's in a good position because, you know, let's face it, the quarterback position there, I think, I'm not there, but even if they draft a quarterback, it's still pretty wide open.
Absolutely.
So you know, if he grabbed it by the horns, and he's certainly impressive physically, one of the fastest guys you're ever going to see, and he had some incredible runs while he was here, and the arm strength is fantastic too. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to watch, and we've got the Browns on our schedule, and we're trying to figure out, is that an opening day game for us? We don't know. Obviously, the schedule comes out in April. We're going to find out soon enough, but you know, if Roberts is started, that's going to be a primetime game.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, Larry, because the year that they get RG3, they move heaven and earth to get that trade and all those picks. But then later in that draft, that's when they got Cousins, too. They went in the fourth round. They get two quarterbacks in that draft. Now, a lot of people would say, what the heck are they doing? But it turns out that move now looks brilliant because of the way Cousins has played and become the guy for them. Now, there were some people that before this RG3 signing had said the Browns have 10 picks in this draft right now, and maybe they should go for two quarterbacks. When you go back to when they did it in 2012 and they drafted the two guys, were you surprised they did it then?
You know what? I was surprised a little bit, but I got to take you back to the Senior Bowl that year. And because the Redskins didn't have a good record in 2011, the coaching staff coached the Senior Bowl.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And I went down there, you know, to do the TV and radio stuff, and I remember going to reception. And at the reception was Russell Wilson, Nick Foles, Ryan Lindley, Brandon Whedon, Kirk Cousins, and the other guy, Kellen Moore, he was there as well.
Yeah, Boise.
And Russell Wilson came up to me and says, would you please introduce me to Coach Shanahan? He was really wanting to meet Coach Shanahan. It was really kind of funny because he didn't want to go up and say hi to him himself. He wanted me to introduce him. Then you had this guy, Kirk Cousins, walking around who, to me, head and shoulders was the most mature of that group of quarterbacks. You could see it. There were press conferences down there. He carried himself like a pro coming out of Michigan State. And I can't help but wonder that Coach Shanahan, being with Kirk at the Senior Bowl in early 2012, didn't impact that decision. Maybe he saw something in him with that hands-on type of coaching that he had a chance to do at the Senior Bowl that he really liked. He said, you know what? We might need another quarterback. I love this kid. He's still available. We'll take him. And so look at Kirk. I mean, and there's something to be said for sitting and watching for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the way they used to do it. They used to give you a clipboard. We had a guy named Mark Rippon who sat and watched for 2 years. Then he became a Super Bowl MVP.
Right.
Didn't play it down for 2 years. So Kirk had the opportunity to watch people making mistakes, watching people succeed, and listen and learn. And he's a super smart kid, salt of the earth type of kid. And so he was ready to go. When he got the opportunity last year, he grabbed it, and he said, I'm not letting go.
Larry, last question for me before we let you go, and we appreciate your time today. The one thing, as people you know learn more and more about RG3 and the person that he is, and again, you've you know shed a lot of light on it, a lot of people don't know. You know, obviously married a few years ago, just had his first child as well. And I think that is something that a lot of people might take for granted, but the maturity that's going to come from the responsibility of not only being a husband, but being a father and balancing a professional life as well. We may, in fact, get a rejuvenated, like, fresh start from a mindset RG3 here in Cleveland that could, you know, project very well for the Browns moving forward. Am I not mistaken?
You know, you got a shot at that happening. You definitely have a shot at that happening. And he's a very unique guy. He was born in Okinawa, Japan. There's nobody in the NFL born in Japan except for him. he grew up in a military situation, and a lot of the military events that we do, Robert attended every one of the military events. Big, staunch supporter of the military, both you know, active and a retired military. Big guy in the community. He's got his own foundation that he, you know, he's gone down to one of the roughest parts of D.C. 2 years in a row to put on a football camp. Beautiful wife, lovely baby, comes from a great family. So all that stuff is you can guarantee that stuff's going to be all good. So, but you do have that rejuvenation possibility with a new head coach, with a change in scenery, and with a chip on his shoulder. So I wouldn't bet against the kid. I really wouldn't.
Larry, thanks so much for your time. I really enjoy your work with the Redskins. That is an entertaining broadcast and always has been. You do a great job there. And thanks for all the background on RG3. We are anticipating, you know, seeing him next week when the team gets together for their off-season conditioning program, and the sky's the limit for him here in Cleveland.
Hey, you got to look at it this way. You know, we're starting the year with a new quarterback, new coach. You know, no place to go but up.
We hope so. Thanks, Larry.
Thank you.
All right, fellas.
All right. Larry Michael, the voice of the Washington Redskins. I have an RG3 story for you.
All right.
And that was, and I was talking about that day when the Redskins came to town.
Yes.
Okay, and it was late in the season, and they had just started to make that run to win the division. They beat the Ravens the week before in overtime, a game that Baltimore had wrapped up, okay, and blew it. And Cousins came in and finished that game. But all week long, it was thought that RG3 was going to be okay to play in the game. And you're driving late Saturday night, just before the game on Sunday here in Cleveland. And the Browns were playing pretty good at that time. Not great, but pretty good. The word comes out that RG3 is not going to play. So there's kind of a, you know. Get to the stadium that morning, and the Browns have a halftime feature that day where they're going to have kids from the city play like football.
Sure.
Okay, they're going to play football. So they're all in their pads and everything like this. And the Redskins are out, and they're working out and everything like that. And then they go in. And the kids come out a little bit, and they're standing in the end zone and everything like that. And who is shaking hands with all of them?
RG3.
Yeah, RG3.
That's awesome.
And I remember saying, man, and he didn't have to do that.
No.
He could have gone right into the locker room, could have put a hat on and a hoodie because it was cold, could have put a hooded sweatshirt on. And he was out there, and he did not go in the locker room until he had shook every one of those kids' hands.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really good.
Well,
so
welcome to Cleveland, RG3.
Yeah, I'd like to end on a good story before we go to break.
Yes.
Larry gave us some great insight.
Absolutely.
Now, there's the football side, folks, okay? I mean, there's the getting rid of the ball. There's the staying in the pocket a little bit longer.
And that's the key for me, and that's something Zagura constantly talks about with Hugh Jackson and Andy Dalton, and why he got so good is because he processed information and got rid of the football,
now,
something RG3 must do.
Here's the thing about Zagura, though, okay? I mean, would he stay in the pocket? I mean, you know, it's great.
He says he would.
Yeah, it's great to say you're gonna. Hey, you gotta stay in the pocket. But I mean, would he stay in there?
Gibbs doesn't think he would.
Is he gonna stay in there without Alex Mack and Mitchell Schwartz? Are you gonna stay in the pocket then, Nathan Zagura? Anyway, we'll take a break and chew on that. If you'd like to call us,
Nathan from Mexico,
216-578-0850 here on Cleveland Browns Daily. Having a ball here on this Monday, a month away from the NFL draft, and so much to talk about. And we'll continue after this.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily on this Monday. Jim Donovan, Matt Wilhelm. Let's go to the phones, Matt. We have a lot
of people calling in.
Let's go to Jim in Cleveland. Hi, Jim. Welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily.
Hi, Jim Donovan. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, I heard the Green Bay comment. You're talking about how they get quarterbacks all the time.
Yeah.
That was Ron Wolf.
Ron Wolf, that's right.
Butch Davis didn't have time for.
That's right. Did you ever hear the story that Jim is talking about?
No.
All right, but the Browns brought. Do you mind if I tell it, Jim, for a second?
No, yeah, please.
All right. So the Browns bring in Ron Wolf as an advisor for Butch Davis. Carmen Policy, and I believe Al Lerner was still alive at that time. They bring in Ron Wolf, and he comes in, and Butch Davis does not want that. I mean, he doesn't want, you know, it's him and Pete Garcia. They're going to run the whole thing. And they give Ron Wolf an office, and all he asked for were media guides from all of the NFL teams so he could start writing reports on players. And they never even brought him into meetings.
Really?
Right, Jim?
Yeah, I think one other story that went with that is he had his eyes on Roethlisberger, and we ended up with Winslow. But he – because he's a quarterback guy.
He was
that Green Bay team had Brett Favre that he was on that he helped – he got this talent. He got Brett Favre, Kurt Warner, Mark Brunell. And then there was a guy that started for – he was a black quarterback that started for New Orleans. I can't think of his name. They were all on the roster at the
Aaron
same
Brooks.
Time.
Was Aaron it Brooks.
Aaron Brooks.
Yeah, Aaron Brooks.
All those guys started. And that was Ron Wolf because his philosophy was – a good quarterback, every year. And I think that's what Hugh Jackson.
Get a quarterback. He's right.
Yeah.
Jim, you hit it right on the button.
I got no problem with that. Honestly.
Every year he would draft a quarterback. I don't care. Might be the seventh round, might be the sixth round.
That's the whole point. I mean, you look at just, you know, talking to Larry Mike, it's like Kirk Cousins, you know?
See, that when they did that, I'm going to tell you, I went, what the heck are they doing?
Right.
They just gave up the world. It was almost like the Ricky Williams deal
in
New
Orleans.
It was
like the only other pick they had in that draft,
yeah,
and it went quarterback, quarterback.
They had no picks.
Right.
Let's go to Beachwood and say hi to Lewis. Hi, Lewis.
Hello. Hi, Jim and Matt.
Is it Len?
It's Len.
Hey, Len.
Oh, hi, Len. I'm sorry.
Not a problem.
How are you?
I'm doing very well.
Good.
Thank you for taking the call.
Sure.
With regards to the question you asked about what the Browns should do with that number two pick.
Yeah, what are they going to do?
I think, I think if they really do have a quarterback that their brain trust believes is a franchise quality quarterback, mm-hmm. then they ought to take that person at number
right.
two. Absent that, I would say look at number 32, and instead, with the number two pick, if he's available, the only player I would take at number two, other than a quarterback, would be Tunsil. Because he would be so important not only to the short term, but the long term success.
Yeah. All right, let me ask.
Whoever the quarterback.
Yeah, Len, let me ask you this, though. Say he goes number one to Tennessee, where he's badly needed.
Correct.
He's badly needed, as Marcus Mariota.
Had an RG3 similar type of year.
Yes.
Concussed,
right,
beat around, like a lot of young quarterbacks.
It really cost the coach's job down there, right?
It did.
What would you do then?
Well, if Tunsil is not available as an alternative at number two, then if they don't have a franchise type quarterback mm-hmm. in the judgment of the Browns, I would trade for as many assets as they could get and worry about it at number 32.
Okay. All right. I want to go to another. Thank you very much. Let me go to another telephone call before we get to the top of the hour here. And Trevor is in Zor. Hi, Trevor.
How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, thank you for calling in. How you doing?
Good. I'm a big fan of the show. So anyways, I was thinking RG3. I think he's just as good or if not better than any of the top draft prospects.
See, that's interesting. That's an interesting view.
It is. And makes things very interesting
right.
at number two.
Go ahead, but you're not done, Trevor. Go ahead.
Yeah, also for the draft, I was thinking possibly at number two or even maybe trading back a few spots. What about taking, like, Ezekiel Elliott as a halfback for us? I think that would be a huge addition to our offense with RG3 and possibly Josh Gordon come back or taking another receiver with our number 32 pick.
That's a great thought.
All right, Matt, hang on, please. I'm not going to ask you. You're asking Matt to dot the I right now in Scripps,
okay.
Ohio. All right, so – to me,
in your heart,
I need common sense.
This
not
is,
your
this
heart.
This is non-biased, non-Ohio State bias to me. Okay.
Yes.
Having watched him for the last two seasons, I believe, is he worth the number two overall pick? No, because of the value of the value of running backs in the National Football League is so low now. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, Gurley went ninth overall, and that was a stretch. Yes, he was rookie of the year and all that great stuff. To me, Ezekiel Elliott might be the biggest can't miss prospect in the first round.
Really?
At running back. That complete, that physical, he's got the speed, he's got the explosion, he's great with the ball, he's great without the ball.
Yeah, you're right about that. I mean, he blocks, he does everything.
He does it all. I mean, Urban talks about him like he's his own son, okay? But at number two overall, he's got to be a 25-touch guy for me in my offense, and that's just not realistic. And I think we go a different direction for the Cleveland Browns. Now at four to Dallas or seven to or I think it's nine to Philly makes
eight.
A heck of a lot more sense.
Is
it eight to Philly?
Okay,
eight to Philly makes a heck of a lot more sense.
Didn't Philly move up to from 13 to 8, right?
Because
of the Alonzo trade.
Correct.
Yeah. He's fascinating.
Ugh.
What a great player.
Yes.
Okay. What a great player Ezekiel Elliott is. Trevor, thanks very much for the telephone call. We have Scott Petrak coming up, okay?
About Ezekiel Elliott.
We had a great first hour,
yes,
my
sir.
Friend. That was a lot of fun. Anyway, continue with your telephone calls, 216-578-0850. I mean, when you're a month away from the draft, you're on the clock, baby.
You are?
You're on the clock right now. We'll continue on Cleveland Browns Daily. Jim Donovan, Matt Wilhelm, here on ESPN 850 WKNR.